kind of strange. But both Reagan and John Paul II thought it literally providential that the final leader of the Soviet Union would be somebody like Gorbachev, who, as John Paul II put it, was a providential man, even if he didn't understand totally what was going, was being used as a hand of providence for this good end. We today are so lacking leaders like those three. We really are. Reagan, John Paul II, and Gorbachev. And this is one of the big problems in the world today, is we don't have really great statesmen, stateswomen, Margaret Thatcher, like we did back then. Yes.
We just had a display of the Queen dying last week or a week and a half ago at the funeral, and a lot of us were using Masonic symbology throughout the entire ceremony. It's in the church.
Yeah.
That it infiltrated the church. The connection, people don't realize communism comes out of the Masonic Lodge. They hate God. They don't even worship God. In fact, most people don't know this at the top. They worship Satan. So maybe give thought to making those.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine. Well, I know him from doing the PR for one of the Devil and Karl Marx. He's writing a book. He has an article, you can look it up, called Communism, Spawn of Freemasonry. And he's actually doing the research on this. And he's got some pretty good stuff. He really does. And it's ironic. In America, most people just think of the Masons as just this kind of social club, which for a lot of Americans, it is. My friend, Mark Chodakiewicz, who's Polish, and grew up, in fact, he was there on June 2nd, 1979. And he says to me, you know, you Americans, you think that, you know, the Masons are like a social club, but to us in Europe, they're evil, right? They, over there, they understand the past and how far back this goes. But in America, they're just like, you know, the lions and the rotary and the elk and the moose. And they're not just like them, but that's what a lot of people think they are. And they don't make the connection at all. But no, I'm not writing that book, but I know someone who is. I know someone who is. Yes. Right. Yeah, it's older. It was women. It's like women in their like 40s, 50s. Yep. Very popular. Yeah, I keep them in the church, keep them in the faith. I think this the vacuum, right, this unclean spirit, it's left this vacuum and it's being filled by these other things. Right? Again, Augustine, there's a God-shaped vacuum in all of us. And the communists tried to purge God and fill it with, you know, economic materialism based on class, atheism. And these people are filling it with Wicca, paganism. The largest group in America right now among the religious categories that sociologists look at are the nuns, not N-U-N nun, right? But N-O-N-E, people with no religious identification. And that's, which has now passed Catholics as the largest group in America. By the way, if Catholics could have just kept their Catholics over the last 100 years, like, you know, 75% of the country would probably be Catholic. But I think it's like 23, 25%. And so the nuns, I think, are like 25, 26. And then after that, there's various Protestant denominations, atheists, but the nuns, the people with no religious affiliation or spiritual training or background or compass or anything, are going to some of these new ideas. And they think it's cute. They think it's fun. They don't see anything bad about it at all. The little town, a couple towns over from where I live, there's a witch store over there. And they put, my wife will tell me too, look what they're putting up on Facebook. You know, they're having this witches gathering or whatever, whatever. And they think it's fun. They think it's cute. If you walked up to them and said something like, this is wicked. You don't want to be a witch. They give you a puzzled look. Like, what are you talking about? nothing wrong with this. We're just some girls out having some drinks and wearing big spiky black hats. I don't know if they do that or not, but they think it's cool. They think it's fun. They don't get it. I think the best thing that you could give your kids is strong grounding in the faith to keep them away from these silly ideas that then become really dark ideas. And key to doing that, either school them at home or send them to really good Catholic schools and make sure they're good Catholic schools. And then in college, send them to a real, genuine, serious, faithful Catholic college. Because most of them that's where they get burned in college. That's where the takedown of the country has taken place, in the colleges. Be very careful where you send them to school. Yes. But by the way, if I can make one recommendation on that. The Newman Guide, the Newman Center, and National Catholic Register every year releases a list of recommended Catholic colleges. You just Google list of recommended Catholic colleges, Newman, National Catholic Register. There's only about 20 to 30 of them. My student assistant a few years ago at Grove City College left Duquesne in Pittsburgh because she was tired of her faith being assaulted. So she came to Grove City College, which is largely a Protestant college, and was more respected for her faith there. Some of the worst damage is caused at Catholic colleges that were Catholic when you guys went there, but aren't anymore. Yeah. Yeah, great. Yeah, it was amazing. Reagan had this strong interest in the Blessed Mother forever. I think it went back to his father being Catholic. His brother was Catholic. His brother was a daily communicant, as was his sister-in-law. Reagan's ex-wife, Jane Wyman. By the way, Reagan did not want that divorce. He pleaded and begged. He did not want that divorce. Jane Wyman became Jane Wyman was, right? The actress. What movie did she, or what TV show was she on in the 80s? Falcon Crest. Mike Reagan told me this. Mike Reagan was their adopted son. She required in her contract that a priest be allowed on set every day to give her the Eucharist. And then she became a third order Dominican nun. Jane Wyman was buried in the habit of all things. Reagan knew about Fatima going back to at least the 1940s when he was president of the Screen Actors Guild. That was when the major movie on Fatima was made back then. He was in 1987, Frank Shakespeare, who's still alive, is 97 years old, briefed Reagan on Fatima for 2 hours on an airplane ride from Venice G7 summit down to Rome, where he was meeting with John Paul II. I said, tell me about it. He said, Reagan was absolutely riveted, fascinated, listening to every word that I said about it. And 2 years before that, May 1985, Reagan gave a speech in Portugal where he talked about the three children of Fatima, about John Paul II visiting there a year after he was shot in May 1982. And this Protestant president said to this audience, there in the prayers of the three children of Fatima is more power than in all the statesmen, presidents, prime ministers, and armies of the world. The president of the United States said that. That was not reported by any newspaper, none of them. I only found it in Reagan's speeches and from Reagan's chief speechwriter, Tony Dolan. But at the end of his life, and this is where a lot of this began for me. So Reagan died June 2004. I was still Protestant. I came into the Catholic Church April 2005. And I'm watching the funeral at the National Cathedral in DC. Bill Clark was there, and Bill had invited me, but I couldn't go because my book, God and Ronald Reagan, just came out. I had like 100 media interviews. I was talking about Reagan's faith. That's what I needed to be doing. And I'm watching on TV, and they start singing Ave Maria. And I asked Bill Clark, I called Bill a couple of hours later. And I said, Bill, Ave Maria. And he said, Paul, I just lost it when that happened. I just lost it. And I said, who chose it? He said, I don't know. Let's find out. And so I called my contacts, the Reagan people. A couple months later, I waited a little bit. And Joanne Drake, who was Nancy Reagan's chief assistant, I had her ask Nancy for me. And Nancy said, Ronnie chose it. Ronnie chose the hymn years before he died. He chose all the Bible verses and everything else. So Ave Maria, I said, yeah. It's one of his favorite hymns, beautiful hymn. So of all things, that's what he picked. But he had this very strong Catholic side. He was surrounded by Catholic advisors, speech writers, Peggy Noonan, Peter Robinson, wrote the Tear Down This Wall speech, Al Haig, whose brother was a priest, is surrounded by Catholics. Other questions? I need to stop. All right, go ahead. Yeah, it's fascinating. Right. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah. So she's part of a coalition government of three different parties. So she herself, I think, probably got about 30 or 40% of the vote. But it's a big deal. And it's a big deal. And of course, they're comparing her to Mussolini and everything else, which is nonsense. Just absolute nonsense. But she is, one thing about Italy, though, and I'm actually Italian. My mom's 100% Italian. You never know from my last name. My ancestry.com thing came up. I'm 55 to 65% Calabrian. So I got enough of the genes. So I can say this, the Italians are crazy. They've had like 200 governments since like 1947. So I love the Italians, but don't be surprised if she's not in there a year from now. I mean, they change that quickly. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of Americans identify as socialists, especially young people. And Communist Party USA, which was founded in 1919, only has about 5,000 members. They claim they had a membership surge under Trump, which took them up from like 4,500 to 5,000. Okay, but the Democratic Socialists of America, that's the group. They have almost 100,000 members. They refer in their latest thing to their 94,312 comrades, as they call their fellow members. And they've actually elected people to Congress. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the DSA. Ilhan Omar is DSA. Cori Bush is DSA. Rashida Tlaib is DSA. So they're winning seats all over the place. They're about to elect a congresswoman from Pittsburgh. They primary traditional Democrats in Democratic safe districts. So if you got a sort of a moderate Democrat, the DSA candidate challenges them in the primary, defeats them in the primary, then wins easily in November because the Republican's not going to get more than like 20% of the vote. And there are DSA chapters on hundreds of college campuses. And they are true socialists. And a lot of times they use language like comrades and the other one. That's really where the threat is. And a lot of young Americans have said that they would vote for a socialist for president. In fact, Bernie Sanders in 2016 got 13 million votes in the Democratic primary. Hillary Clinton got 17 million. And Trump in the Republican primary got 14 million. So that was a record for Republicans. So Bernie got almost as many votes as Trump. And in 2020, Bernie came in second again, behind only Biden. And Bernie is a lifelong supporter of the Trotskyist Workers' Party. The Socialist Workers' Party. So that's where a lot of the growing movement is in America. And a lot of them want to separate socialism and democratic socialism from communism. And my point and the church's point is you can't do that. So we need to educate more and more people about this. Yeah. It's really hard because their colleges are not teaching them these lessons at all. In fact, what you'll find is more of a pro, not even necessarily a pro-communism, but an anti-anti-communism. They don't like the anti-communists. They kind of make fun of the anti-communists. I'll give talks like this at Catholic colleges or secular versions of secular, and the room will be packed with 200-300 students nowhere to sit, and there are no professors in the room. The professors don't come. And I spoke at a really elite college in Pennsylvania in May, and two students came up to me afterwards. I gave a presentation on Marx, what a racist Marx was, what an anti-Semitic Marx was, a horrible, horrible stuff. And two students came up to me and said, we had a course on Marxism here, and we didn't learn any of this, and we didn't even have to use the Communist Manifesto for the course. We never even read from it. We didn't read any of this stuff. I said, well, of course, because if you read this stuff, you wouldn't be communist. So they give you this different point of view. So it's a battle to try to educate people properly. That's what it comes down to. And that's a chore. You probably need your laptop back, don't you? Do you got to go? All right. I think I better stop. All right, one more question. This is it. Who's that? I didn't hear
what Pope Benedict knows about Fatima or the seizure.
Pope Benedict. Well, so he's the one that issued the statement from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, May 13th, 2000. And I've got a big, long chapter on that in the book, which is why I wish I had the book. But he, his interpretation of it, it's theologically very interesting. And he said, doesn't the vision in Fatima show that the Pope dies? Or at least we think he dies. He seems to fall in this volley of gunfire and so forth. And Ratzinger's interpretation was that this means that events are not necessarily fixed. Things can change with the prayers of the faithful and other, including, as JP2 believed, with the intervening hand of the Blessed Mother or whoever's. One hand shot the bullet, another hand guided the bullet. So things do not have to be fixed on this certain course. And you know, that was his interpretation. But it's a very interesting commentary. It's fascinating to read. And I think I better stop. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. I just wanted to thank everybody again, Paul Kanger, for a great presentation, tremendously helpful, just so great. And again, thanks all of you for coming. You have a couple announcements real quick before I just do the final blessing? Oh, raffle ticket. Oh, okay. Let me just give the blessing in case people need. They are some raffle tickets and things. So may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so very, very much.